Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
All right, what's up, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey. Back again.
I wasn't ready.
Episode 50 of the Respect the Game podcast. As always, I got my boy Abe Schwadro with me. Abe, what's good, sir?
Yo, aka Abraham Lincoln, my bio.
Okay.
We got a hot string of podcasts, man. We're at it
again. Yeah. I'm Don Tripp, aka Tester Roaster Tripp.
As Star Lito, public transportation advocate. Lito.
What's that word? I guess opening for the introduction, yeah, then you already heard themselves. It. We got the Step Brothers in here, Don indeed, Tripp indeed. And Starlito. Welcome, fellas.
Man, thank you for having us.
No problem, man. So, yo, just from the jump, congratulations on the new release, Step Brothers 3.
For sure.
You know, I'm sure you guys are feeling good, you know, up here in New York doing a little media run. So, you know, why don't you just tell us very quickly about the project, you know, why you chose to make a number 3 and why not just stop after 2?
I think for the most part, making a third one just made sense. I mean, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the demand was high. I mean, it's higher than it's ever been for either of our projects. And I think you know, to you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I think we exceeded expectations with part 3. And of course, you know, we plan to go for 4 and 5 and how, you know, however long it run, you know, we ain't gonna play it like boxers, you know, that we tend to, you know, not know when it's time to throw in the towel. With that, like I said, as long as it makes sense, you know, it's worth doing, and it's probably our most it's probably the project that takes the most effort. At the same time, being effortless, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when we come together to do it, it's like, you know, we don't have to make an outline first to go in and work. We just go in and whatever come out, it just, you know, it just winds up being the magic that it turns out to be.
Yeah, and from day one, from the first Step Brothers, we've just been, you know, it's just been continuing to grow. And as long as that's the case, like bro said, we'll keep it going. From Step Brothers 2. Step Brothers 1 was a very, very, like, concept-driven mixtape. We were just rapping. And, I mean, we had some records there, but the feedback from it kind of forced our hand to not only make a 2, but make it an album, because there was a market for it.
True.
And the success of 2, touring from Step Brothers 2, like, it was, like, 3.5 years between Step Brothers 2 and Step Brothers 3, but the demand for it never wavered. If anything, it just increased, so... Now that we've released this one, it's performing well commercially and otherwise. It's critically acclaimed, and I mean, we're here. That even says a lot. Like, yes. This isn't a music thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not falling on deaf ears, and like, we're working toward 4 this year, so it just makes sense.
So the Boom Shakalaka video, obviously, you know, caught our attention because for the fact that there's so many NBA references in the song, and
indeed.
B for the video itself. You guys are. First of all, how did you end up outside the Pacers Arena? Like, why was that the place where the video was shot?
We're on tour right now. We're actually on tour, the Karate in the Garage tour. And Indianapolis was, like, the third stop. And linking with the director, Xander Nunley, he's from Indianapolis. So just knowing we're going to be in Indianapolis on this day, and we had a skilled videographer, it's like, let's put something together.
Right.
That was the song that we chose, so... There's an NBA team there, and
right,
so it just kind of went from there. The rest of it, I mean, the arcade scenes, the wardrobe,
yeah.
You know, it was just very theme-driven.
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
Did you talk to the Pacers at all, or, like, where'd you get the jerseys? Give me the logistics of setting that all up.
No, we didn't meet no Pacers.
Yeah, we'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. Like, we just, it was police out there on the street and everything. I think it was, somebody had a concert that night, Ariana Grande, yeah. So it was weird. There's a lot of teenage girls out there in line, and we're just on the steps, like, rapping.
Like, not exactly your demographic.
Well, I mean, there was, like, an older lady, probably, like, close to 50 or 60 years old, that after watching us perform the song a few times for the video, was like, where can I find it? You guys are really good. So, I mean, sometimes you never know. Like, I think she saw that what we were doing was a serious thing, that it wasn't just a joke. Right. I mean, they might have thought we were basketball players. For all we knew.
Well, they probably thought he was. I'm certain I'm a bit too short to play ball. I'm certain. Yeah, I mean, I can play point, well, power forward, yeah.
Well, we got a couple of the jerseys from their pro shop or team shop right there at the arena. I actually got one of the other ones in the miles right down the street. And I don't know if you noticed this, but we're actually wearing, each of us are wearing two different jerseys over the.
Yeah, Glenn Robinson and Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague and Paul George.
Paul George, okay.
Right. And, somebody's phone. Because Jeff Teague is from Indianapolis. That was kind of the quirky thing there. Paul George, obviously, being their best player, an all-star, Olympian, and everything else. But, like, in alternate scenes, because he's wearing the Hickory Pacers jerseys, and I'm wearing the away Navy jerseys. But in one scene, he's wearing number 13, and I'm wearing 44. The very next scene, I'm wearing 13, and he's wearing 44. It's kind of a mind fuck thing. Like, I mean, like I said, you probably didn't even notice it, but maybe you'll go back and see, like, oh, he's not 44 anymore.
Right.
That's just us. We just put Easter eggs throughout our.
And for the most part, for most of our tour, actually, I mean, we started a while ago, but for as much as we can help it, we try to, we try to throw that. That's our kind of way of paying homage to whatever city we in. We try to find the teams that's close enough to relate to it. And, you know, a lot of times you wind up in a city that really don't have a team, so we just go for what's close by.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But it just made perfect sense for the video.
I noticed that in all the photos and stuff, you guys are wearing all throwback jerseys like Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, Yao, Shaq, Penny.
Yeah.
Hakeem, like, it's like every single night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed you guys weren't wearing jerseys when you came in today, to be honest.
No, for me, when we set out to do the New York run, you know, last thing I was thinking was, was to be in the jersey. I was thinking more like, what can I wear for 3 days straight?
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be comfortable enough for foot.
Yeah.
Also, you might.
Oh,
not,
I got plenty though. I got plenty.
You might not want to be wearing a Knicks jersey right now. They're kind of trash at the moment.
I don't pay enough attention to know who's trash when they trash. I know they got some great players though. You know, I just respect the playmanship from certain players. I can't say that for all players, unfortunately. But you know, it's a lot of people that I have to appreciate for playing ball. Like Ewan is one of the, you know, like we was in. Foot Locker, they had like 30 Ewing jerseys, but they had nothing else you could find.
Right. So. Yeah, and I want to wear a Pippen jersey if I'm going to wear it Friday because I'm shooting a video to a song called Pippen. So I wore my Pippen shoes. I thought they were pretty cool.
Friday,
he's got on Jordans. Sam did.
Always. Yeah, I don't know other, you know. The rest of the shoes don't even exist to me. They might as well be open-toed sandals.
I actually got a question from just a rap standpoint, maybe influence-wise. You know, as far as rap duos go, I feel like you guys, you know, when you're rapping, it's just straight bars. Like, there's no real hooks on any of your songs. And then, like, when I think back to, like, Jadakiss and Styles, they had a similar thing where they were going in and out and no real hooks. And then, like, Raekwon and Ghostface, no real hooks, just going in and out. So was that something that influenced you guys? I know, like, you're from the South, so I don't know if Outkast was the duo, but their songs are much more, like, you know, hook-driven.
It actually, I think I could pretty much speak for both of us. I think we both grew up listening to the tandems. To the Capone and Noriegas, to the, even Run DMC, what's the name of the record? Tricky. I don't think many people notice that, but they going, you know, that's one word. It's Tricky, Two Rock, A Rhyme, that's right, you know. So it had been, you know, it's been done for quite some time, and I think we admire all of the tandems that can uniquely do it, not just the regular, you know, I go spit eight, and he spit eight, and then we call that, a tandem record.
Right.
I think a lot of the tandems from the East Coast. I mean, East Coast just happened to be maybe the part of the map that's got the most of them. But you know, for the most part, we grew up listening to all of them. You know, we respect them all, even you know the Clips. That's a very long list. Of course, UGK and Outkast, that goes without saying. But you know, 8 Ball, MJG. Man, and like I said, that's a, you know, it's an extremely long list, but we respect all of them. I think we learned from all of them too as well.
Yeah, I it's interesting that you said Jadakiss and Styles. We had these kind of conversations about our legacy, about, you know, what we're trying to project, where we're trying to go with it. Like, I mean, we do have records with choruses, but a lot of times we just don't adhere to any formula, any standards, and we just make the best music. And Styles and Jadakiss, like, I can say that they're probably an influence. They never really put out a complete body of work, though.
I know, man.
And so for them to have the fanfare years later, for all of us to kind of recognize it the same, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
true.
On the fan end, my favorite duo is UGK.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because of the balance, the duality. Like, rap-wise, technically they're so different, but they blend so well together.
Yeah.
Or collectively tell such good stories or have, like, such a unique perspective. Yeah, everybody else he named, like, we're the same age, so be it jerseys or sports, video games, pop culture, rap, you know, music, for the most part, we relate to the same things or at least are familiar with the same things, even if we don't have the same preference. So.
True that.
So as far as, you know, basketball influences, I mean, we just talked about sort of the music influences, but I know, I mean, obviously, Don, you had the Allen Iverson song. You know, it was probably the first time that we had heard of you, you know, many years back for that reason. But, like, as far as, you know, the cross, you know, there's that forever crossover of hoops and hip-hop. But so were there basketball players for either of you that growing up were, you know, a major influence, maybe not even on your basketball game, but just on your life and style?
I ain't too good at basketball. I won't front with you. Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson has always been my favorite player on and off the court. I think he was one of the players that him being – human is what kind of destroyed his image, so to speak, because he, you know, he wasn't prepared to be a superstar. He just was, you know, he was very talented. He was trying to live and be, you know, and be a national, you know, well, a worldwide star at the exact same time. And that, I don't know, I think the entire time, you know, Allen Iverson was building his fame, I could see the human in him. And even on the court, like, you know, it was times where I can't really, you know, it was times where I couldn't really get into basketball, but I could watch Iverson play. Because, you know, like, when that ball get loose, he going for that ball.
Yeah,
like, you
he
know,
put his life on the line. Basically.
Right. You know, same when he going in the paint. You know, he going, he's the smallest person out there. And he going in, and I had seen, like, I don't know what game I was watching, but, you know, they had a little, you know, they did the segment in between the timeouts or something. And they were showing everything on him that was injured. And I'm like, if he's this injured, why is he still playing?
Yeah, like every body part.
Right. And, you know, when it got back to the game, he was the way he was playing, you would never know he was injured. If I didn't see the chart that they showed me with all the injuries, I wouldn't even know he was injured. And from that, you know, that just – I don't know how that correlated for the rest of my life, but that was just inspiring, the fact that no matter what, he just kept going in. It didn't matter. Like, you know, you're going to take every scar, you're going to keep going.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty much how I live my life, because, you know, I feel the same way. I learn from every, you know, from every scar, and I keep going.
Yeah. And Lito, you played ball coming up too, so I'm sure that you had some basketball influences, right?
Sure. I played through high school. My favorite player growing up was Anthony Hardaway, and I've actually put out a record with D1 called Number One Like Penny, and I think it came out about 2 years ago. And I actually got, you know, stamp of approval from Penny Hardaway, which was, like, huge for me. Probably meant as much as about anything I've done in my music career.
True that.
I mean, he's local coaching. For you guys.
He's coaching in Memphis.
Yeah.
Coaching a high school team in Memphis now.
Right.
Yeah. And he's still legendary.
Right. But, yeah, from his college career to, because I'm from Nashville, we get, like, Memphis, well, we got Memphis games.
Yeah.
You know, regional TV and whatnot. The Blue Chips movie, like, I was a super fan before he probably played his first NBA game. I was in his fan club when I was in, like, the fourth grade. It's for real, it's deep like that. And through high school, when I was playing, probably just for the position I play, I was, like, really, really partial to Kevin Garnett and, like, Darius Miles. I'd actually meet Darius Miles some years later. One of my favorite players and good friends of mine, Zach Randolph, actually booked me and Yo Gotti for a concert in, like, 2004 or 2005 out in Portland when he was still with the Blazers. So I rode to the show with Darius Miles. So it was weird. I played in a celebrity game with him. It was cool because he had the middle row of the Escalade taken out. So it was like hella leg room. Forget that. Like, open the door. I was like, it's just two seats back here. Like, but, I mean, they're 6'10", you know what I'm saying? Yeah, him and I was buddies. So I was like, yeah, it makes sense. I don't think I want to ride in the middle row if I were you guys. I'm 6'4". You
know? Right. It but, knees to the chin.
Yeah, so, I mean, KG, D Miles, during those early 2000 years. Charles Barkley is one of my favorite players, and influence-wise, growing up, it always stuck with me, that commercial when he was like, I'm not a role model. Yeah. And I just thought that was so, like, you had Jordan with a theme song for a Gatorade commercial, if I could be like Mike, and then you had this other guy like, don't be like me, like, you don't have your kids looking up to me kind of thing. He had to Shut Up and Jam video game. It was like the first video game I played where they were cursing. Like, he's like, give me the damn ball. And I'm like, I like Barkley. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, then, of course, it's like commentary career as a personality. Like, it's still just funny as shit to me. But,
Derrick Rose is my favorite player.
So we were going to ask you about that. Yeah, we saw you tweeted that out. Why is he your favorite?
Same thing. The heart. Yeah. Man, I think the first time I watched Derrick Rose play, you know, like I said, I can't really keep up with I can keep up with college better than I can keep up with the NBA, but at the same token, I can't keep up with the player cycle in college. Cause they stay, you know, of course, it changes every year. But the first game I saw him play, like I said, the hardest the thing for me, the ball was about to go backcourt. He caught the ball, and he was on he was on his tiptoes on 1 foot, like a ballerina. He spent around and still distributed the ball. I'm like, man, I can't play ball, but ain't no way in hell I would have saved that ball. No, it wouldn't have happened. I would have been backcourt, or I just would have missed the ball. And just to see him do that, and like I said, you know, I've seen other players do exactly what I just said, let the ball go, or they make it backcourt. And he did everything physically possible. Half of that shit was physically impossible. But he did everything he could do to save the ball, even though, you know, that wasn't a game-winning play. It was like the second quarter, well, you know, the first half, because it was college. But either way, you know, just seeing that, to see that he loved what he was doing that much to put everything he got into it. And even now, you know, I hate to see that, you know, the frequent injuries.
Yeah, he's having a rough time.
Right, but you know that's for me. That's something that's just life. You know, you can't really control that. You can't tell your body, hey, you know, stay healthy. Don't swell up. Don't tear. You know, it's just your body. It's just whatever happens. I just hate that for him because I know how talented he is. I think he's a great player. I think, you know, given a healthy season, I think he can stand out.
Yeah, my favorite player right now is Russell Westbrook.
He's phenomenal right now.
He's tenacious.
That was your Shaq rendition right there.
He's tenacious.
But, I mean, the best thing about him that I like is that he's not trying to be anybody's friend. And, like, competitive thing. It's competition. I mean, it's the spirit of it. Like,
true that.
I like that. I mean, of course, it's, like, playing style and whatnot, but...
Yeah,
I think that's something to be said. Like, everyone's kind of
too friendly. You know,
I
was watching the game, and it was in between the quarters. One of his teammates was trying to shake somebody's hand, and he snatched him.
Then
he stopped, and he tried to shake it again, and he snatched him again.
Yeah, I love that shit. I love that shit. I'm not gonna lie.
That's real.
I just want to go back to Iverson real quick, and
indeed.
You know, before we turn the mics on, I think you had mentioned that you used to see him in Atlanta, Sarlito, or something like that. Right?
Yeah, I saw him a few times in Atlanta. Like, it was a.
That's why he got his hair braided.
Not entirely.
For Kawhi, I thought.
Where you've never seen us in the same place at the same time.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Nah, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I bumped into Iverson. I met him, maybe. 8-9 years ago, probably, I think, right when he was first, like, out of the league. And we used to stay at the same hotel in Atlanta. Just strange, one of those strange things. I don't really believe in coincidence. So eventually I went and spoke, introduced myself. He was rapping music. Like, it's crazy. Like, he was rapping. Like, like Allen Iverson lyrics, but I don't remember what song. But I thought that was cool. Like, I mean, he's a regular person that just walks around zoning out to his music like anybody else does.
Yeah, I ain't met him yet. We, you know. It happened in due time.
Right.
So what do you think of Iverson's music career?
I think Iverson is a phenomenal basketball player.
full stop there. I mean, his album never ended up coming out.
Well, I dig that too. The politics, that showed me a lot about, you know, the powers that be.
Yeah.
Cause his album didn't come out, not cause he couldn't put it out. It didn't come out cause who was it? David Stern at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like his music was
a little too hard, a little too
politically
hard.
Incorrect.
Yeah. And it was offensive. To
homophobic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Right.
Violent.
Right. And then I heard
gun crime and stuff.
Yeah, right.
I mean, basically, like
Eminem,
rap was or.
Yeah,
is.
Well, yeah, is. It yeah. always been, actually. I don't think it's ever been anything other than that.
I mean, that was like a strange time of the dress
right.
code.
Right. Well, yeah, that all of that fell in right after that. So, you know, when he was trying to put an album out, I think that opened my eyes to see that it's not just, you know, he's not just a basketball player. You know, he's not just going out and doing what he loved to do. He's got rules and guidelines as well. And then I want to say the whole practice thing came. But I want to say they came out to the album. I'm not certain.
Yeah, it was out.
But,
yeah,
you know, then the practice ordeal.
That was a little later.
And, you know, they just, after that, you know, all the cards kind of was against them.
Yeah. So what about, do you guys have relationships with NBA guys? Now, I saw, Sarlito, you posted something about Archie Goodwin. Is he a friend of yours? Like,
yeah, he's
do
a
you
good,
guys have
he's
friends
a good friend.
Yeah?
He's a good friend of mine. I moved to Phoenix a few years ago, I think toward the end of his rookie season. And we just kind of linked while I was out there. And a good buddy of mine, I talked to him last night. We'll probably link later. He's with the Nets now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
Trying to think. Like I said, Z-Bo, Zach Randolph.
Of course. Yeah, you know.
We're good pals.
From Memphis and in Memphis, so, you know, of course, Z-Bo.
And he has does he have his own label? I know he has a couple artists.
Yeah,
right?
He does.
Yeah.
He's working with Moneybagg Yo.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the label.
Right, but yeah, he's got an influence there.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he's been
pretty
close to Yo Gotti for a while.
Yeah,
whether people probably know that. I mean, he's got good relationships. Like I said, he booked us 13 years ago. So he's a rap fan and, you know, really supports people. I can say that. I actually played against Corey Brewer in high school.
Okay.
And we beat their ass twice. Well, we won an overtime both times, but he can never say that he got a W.
Yeah, scoreboard.
I gave him 20 both times.
There you go.
Okay.
But he tried to rip the rim off in one of the games. Trying to think a few other guys. The best player I've ever been on the court with at the same time was Raymond Felton. That was like an AAU tournament. Him and Rashad McCants, they won the Junior Olympics that year, I think my senior year of high school. Quite a few other guys. I mean, as we get up in age, people that I like played against are fading out of the league. It seems just ages me a little bit. But
so then you played some high level ball then?
Yeah, I played high level AAU.
Yeah,
I did play. Yeah.
What was the name of your AAU squad?
Tennessee Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to quite a few national tournaments and whatnot.
Yeah. No basketball.
No NBA friends?
No. Well, you know, like, yeah, no, not quite. I ain't play basketball in high school either.
Yeah, I mean, I've got tons of friends that play overseas. Some of my high school teammates are still playing professionally. And
yeah.
I got a few buddies that are coaching now. And
Did Stojakovic reach out when you dropped his name?
Nah, he didn't. He probably did. I'm waiting on Turkoglu to hit me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hopefully I will be able to understand what he's saying when he hit me.
I remember Ty Lawson being really vocal about Step Brothers 1 when it came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. I mean,
DeMarcus Cousins, he rocked with us.
Yeah, but DeMarcus Cousins has mentioned our music a few times.
Wade shouted me out a few times.
I met Devin Booker through Archie when he was still playing with the Suns, and I think he just hit 70 like a week or so ago. So
and he's like,
he's
20
cool with people.
Years old.
Yeah, right. I was like a kid when I met him. But he's good as shit though.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave out any of my basketball buddies, but definitely Corey Brewer took those two L's.
So when you're going to when you're going to celebrity games and hooping, are you like Are you like, all right, I'm coming to ball today? Like,
certainly. I mean, certainly.
When it used to go to the
Yeah, when I used to go. I mean, like I said, I played in one where D Miles was actually on my team. I think Cam Newton was our coach. That was in Nashville.
That'd be cool.
Dominique Rogers Cromartie. It was his celebrity game. We went to the same college. So it was cool to get invited out for that. I played – this was actually probably even more, like, important to me. I played against Arthur Agee two different times from Hoop Dreams.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, I walked in the gym and I felt like I was the only person there that knew who he was kind of thing. But then we ended up guarding each other, which kind of sucked because he was in super basketball shape still. And, but we got the W. MJG was on my team, too.
That had to be
From 8-Ball and MJG?
Yeah, it was in Arkansas. He played.
You guys are very political with the answers. I like
that. Yeah, I mean, these are good people, you know. Things get taken out of context. He had on boots, though.
I can see him with some boots on playing ball.
Man, it was strange. But, yeah, I'm always trying to bring it, though. Like, I think I hit, like, 33 in a celebrity game once. Like, I was just not passing the ball for about a whole quarter. Yeah, it's always fun. I think I got a winning record out of all the guys I play.
I know Abe and I play in, like, a league around here, and, like, we treat that shit like it's the NBA, man. Like,
yeah, of course. The layup lines. Yeah.
That game where Cam Newton was a coach, like, I got crossed over by Anquan Boldin. He's not a basketball player, but it was one of those things, like, I thought about it after, because I was a fan of his since, like, Florida State.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback. They ended up getting switched to receiver, I think, because of Chris Winkie or something.
Yeah, he did.
So I had to have known he was an athlete like that, but, like, it took – like, because it was more NFL guys playing in that game. But some of those guys were really fucking good. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? To make it to the NFL, you got to be an athlete. Right, but I'm, like, layup line, these guys doing 360s and shit. And he crossed me. My socks. The elastic was out of my socks.
Don, you never get out there just to avoid the embarrassment?
No,
okay.
No, I'm cool. I can watch. Well, I can 2K it, but, you know, other than that, no. We ain't doing all that.
Fair enough. All right, one other thing I wanted to ask about as well is, Lito, you were in the championship pop bottles video. There's a basketball scene as well.
Yeah.
Is that true? That's you in that?
Yeah.
What was filming that like? Because that's like a legendary music video moment, I feel like.
Yeah, that was a
Jada
really,
Kiss in the Huddle.
That was a really fun video, too.
Shout out to Kiss.
Yeah, shout out to Kiss. He was the coach. He was the coach, and it's pretty cool, you know, Lil Wayne, Mac Main, T-Streets, and we were a basketball team.
Right. So what you can was imagine them call horrible plays.
It looked like it from the 15 second.
It was, that's why it was so fun, because the basketball part of it was like the absolute least of the video.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, in between takes, it was pretty cool to have like the Lil Waynes and such, and those people being like, man, you can really play basketball. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just cast as an extra because I was signed to the label.
And he was tall. And he looked like he played ball.
Well, they had a bunch of guys that, like, played college ball to be the other team.
The actual extras, yeah.
So we were just shooting around, and, you know, I might get the ball and just go dunk or something, because I was 10 years ago. Yeah, I was way younger, way more fit. But it was just like, oh, shit, like, you really do this, like, yeah, maybe if it wasn't this, it'd be that. I don't know. But, yeah, that was cool.
So, let's just touch on a couple quick NBA things.
No problem. Cool.
Who is your MVP this year? I mean, obviously, it's basically coming down to Westbrook and Harden. It sounds like, from what you guys have said,
I got to rock with Westbrook on that one.
Yeah, I give it to Westbrook. I mean, Houston's outperforming OKC slightly, but they have a better team. I mean, that's part of it. You know, you couldn't have probably expected this much from the Thunder without KD. And, I mean, like, 32, 11, and 10. I mean, and a winning record. Like,
it's, like, literally the best season of all time, individually.
Statistically, so. Yeah. I mean, and you win 50 games in the West. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not a given.
Yeah.
Timberwolves are good as shit. Like, they're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's unanimous in this room, at least.
Absolutely.
That buzzer beater of 50 points the other night, if that ain't winning for him, then
that kind of sealed it.
There's a conspiracy.
I was sold when that happened. So, you know, I got to give it to him.
I lost a little money when that shot went in.
So are you looking forward to watching the Harden and Westbrook go at it?
Yeah, I think, sure. I think it's great that they're going to play each other. Like, Harden's probably going to try to bust his ass because he's not going to win MVP.
I mean, if it couldn't be Warriors-Thunder, this is, like, the second best thing.
Right, Rockets, right. And, Rockets, well, Thunder. Yeah, the Thunder still might take it. I mean, that's what I'm picking, but... For that series.
Unless I ain't got no pick.
No pick?
No. I'm going to go with the Grizzlies.
There you go. That's a pick.
There we go.
Why did how come it's like the Grizzlies every year are like the, not the boring team, but like the one that no one talks about?
Because, I mean, they don't have the flash, but they still got the heart. I mean, they got that, you know, to the utmost. I want to say it was last year when Golden State came in and just mopped the floor with us.
When we went to the game?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
It's like 40 or 50 points.
He came, Steph Curry came in shooting the ball from the bleachers, from the locker room. And he shot from the parking lot, one of them shots. You know, it was, you know, after that, you know, of course that's going to overshadow the fact that they really play hard. And I think that's why Memphis loves them. For the, you know, not just because this, you know, because the city has a basketball team, but because, you know, when they go out there, they really play. As a matter of fact, their slogan is
Grit and Grind.
But you know, Memphis is not one of the flashiest cities in, you know, on the map either. Right. So I think all that go hand in hand, and I think that's probably the reason why they make it to the playoffs every time. I think people forget that those guys can really play.
What was it like when the Grizzlies arrived? I mean, that was like a strange transition,
when they first got to I mean, it was cool because I don't think we ever had a basketball team. If we did, it was well before I was born.
The Memphis Tams. Remember those jerseys we were just looking at?
Yeah, Memphis Tams.
I don't know. Remember those weird, like, green and yellow throwbacks they wore a couple times?
Yeah, they got some weird. I don't know what team that comes from. I never heard of these teams.
Way back in the day, yeah.
Right, it had to be, like, ABA or something.
Yeah, so what did people think, like, when this – now it's all of a sudden an NBA franchise.
It was amazing at first, and then, you know, they was horrible when they first got there with them green, the mug glass, Vancouver jerseys.
Yep.
They just swapped the words out.
Yeah.
But after a while, you know, they started building their team, and it started to look like a basketball team. The city started getting behind. They started building, you know, things downtown to play into that, to build around the Grizzlies. And, you know, from that, you know, I guess, right now, that is the team. Like, you can't – it's almost like, you know – well, not so much because, you know, y'all got two teams, even for baseball. And
right.
They be ready to scrap about this shit. Ain't so – you know, it ain't that intense out there, but you can't be at a sports bar in Memphis while a Memphis game is going on rooting for the other team. It's not going to be pleasant. But, you know, I said that to say that, you know, they – for the most part, Memphis loves the Memphis Grizzlies. So.
I was about to ask you, if you're not at the game, where should you be watching the game if you're in Memphis?
I couldn't tell you. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't really, you know, I don't really get out like that. It's either work or my kids to me. But I take my kids to the games, actually. I think I took, what was it, Grizzlies and the Suns at the time? I took Jalen with us?
Yeah, because that was when Archer was playing.
Right. So, you know, I take my kids to the games. If I'm not at the game watching it, I couldn't, you know, it's a crazy world. So I would say in any city, the safest place to watch the game, if you're not at the game, is at your house.
And the most comfortable, probably.
Yeah, you know. I'm just saying, you know.
I think the Grizzlies, like bro said, I think the Grizzlies match the personality of that city pretty well.
True.
And I've seen other places where that's the case. But they just, even though they have the highest paid player in the league, they don't really have the star power, or they haven't had it. They've had consistency. You know, they've had, like I said, players that play hard.
And they go every year, matter of fact.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
For quite some time. They make the playoffs.
Playoff team.
They're not that far removed from the Western Conference Finals.
Correct.
Think,
right.
Yeah. 2013?
Right. Yeah, 2013. Yeah. And I feel like they've built a roster that, you know, fits the city so well, like between Tony Allen and
Z-Bo.
And even, you know, Conley, you know, he's the highest paid player, but he's still very much under the radar, you know, when you're talking about.
Yeah, they love him, man. Who are your kids' favorite players?
Well, I got one son. He's not really, he's more into Power Rangers than basketball. So he Michael Jordan is probably his favorite player, just for the sake that that's what's on his feet, and and he's in Space Jam, and they love Space Jam. Other than that, I don't think they pay much. For my kids, I don't try to steer them toward liking anything.
I'm just happy that he knows who Jordan is. I feel like there's a whole generation now that's going to not.
He's serious. He's serious. I mean, but it's not so much for the athleticism or the reasons we love Jordan. Mm-hmm. He just loves him because
he hangs with Bugs Bunny.
Right. The fact that this guy played basketball with Bugs Bunny. And I don't know no other person that played basketball with Bugs Bunny.
That's a great fucking point.
I mean, I'm just happy that Space Jam is still being watched.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, indeed. Too much now for them. Because I had to sit and watch it over and over and over. So I had to find something else for them to watch. But, you know, that's great to me to know that, you know, that he recognizes who Michael Jordan is. And, of course, like I said, that's the only pair of shoes I would put on is Jordans. So in that, I had to at least fill him in on who Michael Jordan is.
Right.
You know, not just, you know, hey, I like the shoe.
Yeah. So. He's not just the guy from the crying face.
Right.
I thought that.
My kids have never seen that. So that's perfect.
They may have missed that whole thing. I feel like it's dying out a little bit.
But I thought a year ago when it was a bigger deal, I did think like, man, I hate the internet. Not necessarily for Jordan's sake, because he's such a brand and such a commodity.
I don't think they're tainting anything for that.
But I did think like, you know, like you said, for someone that never saw him play, like, you minimize some, you know, that the internet does that. Like, things are in a vacuum.
Move
like,
quick.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're kind of bringing it full circle here with the movie discussion, because obviously Step Brothers, you know,
comes from the movie.
How did that become like, all right, this is the movie that we're going to have this franchise of projects on?
For the most part, it came from him. I think, I think we was in the studio when we first started working together, and that's what he was playing on his laptop. Like, you know, you couldn't see what he was doing because we was on the other side of the desk. And, you know, he's just out of nowhere, he chuckled right quick. And we were like, what the fuck are you laughing at? And he'd be like, oh, man, watching the movie. I'm like, it's on mute. The hell? And he like, he know the movie so well. It's funny on mute. I have no idea how. But, you know, from that, you know, somewhere along the line, I couldn't say verbatim, you know, what was said or you know, where it was placed in you know, in a timeline. Mm-hmm. But somewhere in one of those sessions, it just became something we could both relate to. And for the most part, for me, if you know, for any fan of our music, if you listen to my solo music, I'm much more serious than I am when it comes to the Step Brothers tape. I think us being a tandem gave me the leverage to have more fun, if that makes sense. Because before then, there's certain things I wouldn't say. Now we're at a point I don't care. I'm going to say what I want to say. But, you know, when we do the Step Brothers, when we started doing the Step Brothers tapes, I think up until then, you probably never heard a record where I laughed or said something.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, like, even the Allen Iverson record, Letter to My Son, we were just talking about, you know, like, all
that's just how I am
stuff. Yeah,
but I mean, even now, you know, even in this interview, I'm sure you can see, you know, I'm, you know, it's not all, you know, super, you know, suit and tie, hey, let's, you know, but I think that brought it out of me. I think the fact, you know, we sat and, you know, it's niggas just, he just giggled for no reason and we like, what the hell is going on? I mean, I just think that was like, I guess, like the icebreaker for the fun, if that make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, little did you know, he was actually looking at the Jordan crying face meme.
Nah, this was 2011. I don't even know if he cried. Yeah, I don't
know. Wait, so what's your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part of the movie is the part of the movie when, hold on, I get the names twisted quite a bit. Brennan, right? John C. Reilly is Brennan, right?
No, it's the opposite. Nah.
He's Dale. Okay.
You had a 50% shot there, though.
So. Yeah, you're right. You know, it was either or. So, my favorite scene, I don't think it's on the theatrical version, but it's a scene in the movie where they're having dinner, and Dale and little homie wife is, you know, they had the extracurricular moments. That's my favorite scene right there. I was rude for little homie wife to get nailed the whole movie. So that's when that happened, funny. I was like, hey, I'm with it. That's my guy right there.
Yeah.
You say it's so wet and screamy. It's squishy.
It's slippery.
Yeah.
It's so slippery. Yeah, my favorite part of the movie, Man, it's probably when the bunk beds collapse. Oh, just, yeah. It doesn't. That may have been what I was watching on mute, because that's just. I mean, like, that's just the kind of, in a nutshell, the whole spirit of the movie. Yeah. Like, we're gonna be able to do so many activities. Like, they're literally excited, like, about stacking their beds on top of one another, which in theory is just a dumbass idea. Like,
it's nothing. Especially at 40.
Especially at 40. With hockey sticks and stuff. You really pay attention to the construction of it. Like, it's just, and like, you know, when it
and
collapses,
he thought he killed him.
Right. His reaction is just priceless. Like, to run at 40 something years old, to run in your parents' room, like, it's so bad. And he's got one scratch on top.
Well, we gotta get like Will Ferrell to acknowledge.
Yeah, that's
music.
Hey, that'd be
that's
big.
A goal.
That'd
be that's big. Actually, yeah. Like some bucket list shit.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be big.
I mean, it was nearly as cool to hear Jay-Z and Kanye like sample Will Ferrell vocals into the.
Yeah,
true. Niggas in Paris, I think that was the record. Because, I mean, I couldn't help but to feel a subtle influence.
Right.
You know, I don't know, but that's what I care to think. So.
Yeah.
Me as well. You know, normally I'm not a conspiracy theorist in any shape, form, or fashion, but I believe such. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but Will Ferrell's probably like one of my favorite actors. I'm a super fan of his work. Like, even the basketball movie Semi-Pro is one of my favorites. Yeah. It's right up there with Step Brothers and Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Will Ferrell, Kevin James, Chris Farley, actually. Those are like, you know.
Hell yeah. Beverly Hills Ninja, fucking hilarious.
Oh, Tommy Boy. Shit's
out. Yeah, I was going to say, I like Tommy Boy.
My brother likes Black Sheep, too.
I like Black Sheep.
Black Sheep is hilarious, man.
Oh, yeah. He was something else, but, you know.
But the Step Brothers thing, like, you were asking how did we arrive at that point. It was, we were at completely different phases of our careers. I was coming out of a record deal with the Cash Money and Universal Motown thing.
Right.
And he was approaching getting a record deal. So it's almost like our paths are crossing almost in equal opposite manners.
Got it.
And that was kind of, you know, its own thing. We didn't, like, bring more light to that, but that's just really what was going on. And that's to say, like, I wanted to see him do well. From hearing his music, I was a fan. I liked his music before I met him. Right. Starting to work with him and seeing there was a synergy or chemistry there, I wanted to see him do well. I wanted to see him not make the same mistakes that I had made, you know. I was actually at a point where I didn't really care about rapping, like, period. Were it not for Step Brothers 1, I probably would have quit rapping at that time. And so, like, that crossroads of both of our careers, it just, you know, three or four songs in, I'm just like, and watching that movie every other day, I'm like, hey, man, we should do a mixtape and just put sound bites from the movie in between the songs and shit, like, so we don't have to think about what the songs are about. Yeah. Like,
and we super drove each other.
Yeah.
It's been that ever since, but when we, you know, when we got in the studio together, I think it was amazing for me to see how he worked and to see that, you know, I've been... probably been recording since, like, I was 16. I've been recording myself since I was 16. And up until then, of course, I've been, oblivious to how other people record, everybody except for how Jay-Z records. Mm. So, you know, when I sat with him and I saw that he was recording himself, he was, you know, he was the one running the sessions. And to think, like, you know, I started asking, like, all the music I've been hearing, you know, that's you recording yourself. And, like, you know, it's got to be done. I get in here and do it. You know, you don't wait around. And that was something I could relate to, because that's where I was at with it in real life as well. I had turned my bedroom into a studio. I took my bed out and built an actual vocal booth, and and added a mixing board and everything else. So to see him doing it, the same thing, you know, in different levels, that inspired me even more. And, you know, when we started actually putting songs together, it just, you know, it was more magic than anything, because it's not something we could have expected. I didn't go in saying, man, I know this is going to be the greatest thing that I've ever made. I just went in and do my part. I sat down, he went in and did his part, and we lived with it, and it was like, hold on, you know, I think we own or something. And now, what, seven years later?
Yeah, a little over six.
Right, you know, now it's it's something without even saying it's something. You know, it became a gem, so to speak.
Well, before we get you guys out of here, we got to get number one, at least one good Zach Randolph story, and number two, your finals pick.
I can't tell the one I want to tell.
I can't either.
But it's two different ones, then you can't tell either one.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because I wouldn't. I've never been around Zach with Craig present, so it's got to be two different ones.
Just give us like the location that it happened.
I'll give you one of my favorite ones that I feel comfortable sharing. I mean, some things are just sacred, and I'm from where I'm from, so there's just certain things you don't publicize.
Right,
but I was at a Suns and Grizzlies game out there in Phoenix, and I was probably sitting in like the second or third row underneath the goal. And the Suns were shooting, they caught a foul on Z-Bo, and he was arguing with the ref like nonstop, like the whole time they were lining up for the free throw. He was just like, it's not a fucking foul. Like, it's just going off. And like, it was funny because I know him, you know, and it's whatever. He was like shaking his head, and he turned and he saw me like under the goal. He was like, "Star, what we doing tonight?" mid argument, like, "It's not a fucking bro." Like, the game was still going on, like the free throw was going on. Yeah. I was just like,
"That's amazing."
I was like, "Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool."
I got one like that. We was at the Grizzlies game, and I was in the incognito, so you couldn't see who I was. You know, I was trying not to draw any attention. I had some stuff going on in real life, so I ain't really want to, you know. I ain't want nobody to walk up to me as a fan, and I react according to what I was really going through. So I was just in there trying to be low-key, and nobody knew who I was in there. And I took the hood off and realized this was before I got, you know, as big as I am now. But I took my hood off. I don't remember what I took it off to do. I might have got hot. But I took my hood off, and I'm just looking around. People looking at me, but no one knows who the hell I am. I'm like, oh, okay. That wasn't so bad. And I think they was coming out. I was super close to the front. I wasn't on the
not on the wood.
Right. I wasn't close enough to be there. I was like three or four rows back. Mm-hmm. But he came out, and when they stopped it, I was sitting behind the Grizzlies bench. So they came out, and they was, you know, doing their warm-ups. And he said, "Trip," he just shouted me out. He just said, what's up, Trip? And I'm like, you know, what's up? I look around now. Everybody knows who I am. I'm like, damn, none of y'all even noticed I was sitting right here until he just said, "What's up, Trip?" Now, you know, that started everybody wanted pictures then. That just tripped me out because I think that made me forget what I was going through right then, just because, you know, nobody was. I'm going through something in my own world. None of these people know none of what's going on. And, you know, when he did that, that turned the light on. Like, you know,
question.
Turned the high beams on.
You went somewhere with 18,000 people to be low-key?
Yeah, I thought you watched the games at your house.
Well, see, I went early enough that, you know, I'm assuming, you know, that it's not for to be, you know, it ain't gonna be pandemonium. And like I said, you know, I wasn't super famous. I just wanted to go to. That was me just trying to get out, just to. Like I said, I was going through some things, so you know, I was just trying to get some. I won't call it fresh air because there's no fresh air in the arena, but you know, I just called myself getting out. And you know, matter of fact, while I was sitting, I know I had got there too early because I my seat was like at the end of the row and I had to get up like 700 times to let all the people come in and sit down.
Hate that. Was at.
So I knew I was there way too early. But, you know.
The confidential stories are just
parties.
Can only imagine.
Yeah, I don't want to get nobody in nothing, you know.
Fun times.
Right, yeah, we go. Yeah.
I mean,
fun times. Fun times.
The beginning of the Darius Miles Portland. I'm sure there's a whole, we could do a, we might have to just end this so you can tell us that story, actually.
It's just fun times, man. I woke up at a gas station. I was 19, man.
Fun times. We'll leave it at that. Gentlemen, thank you for coming up. Yeah, hot times for sure. But gentlemen, thank you so much for coming through.
Oh man, we thank y'all for having us.
Yeah,
man.
Step Brothers 3 is out wherever you cop music.
StepBrothers3.com.
StepBrothers3.com.
Yeah, you can find this place to find.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Indeed. Thank you guys.